Hey, it's Luke Black, proud owner of The Marketplace. Since 1980, we've been your neighborhood sandwich shop. We're open Monday through Saturday for breakfast and lunch. If you're craving a fresh sandwich, salad, soup, or a hot cup of local roasted coffee, we've got it all made fresh daily. The Marketplace can cater your next event, from small office lunches to full wedding parties. You can rent our space for private gatherings after hours. You can find The Marketplace at 246 Olmsted Boulevard in Pinehurst. It's not just a sandwich, it's an experience.
This is Taking Aim, a weekly show hosted by David Hensley and Stephen Woodward. Join us for open season on hypocrisy, deception, woke culture, and uniparty cronies. We'll review the stories you might have missed and prepare you for what's to come in the week ahead. Taking Aim starts right now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to your favorite Saturday morning program heard exclusively here on WEEB. I am Steve Woodward. My sidekick, David Hensley, is still out, I don't know, exploring the universe, I guess you might say. So hopefully the USS Hensley will chug back into the port here one of these days. But I do have a great guest coming up for a lengthy discussion about the state of affairs in the village of Pinehurst. Shortly, we will be talking to Jim Nash, the owner in the village of a resort wear retail store on Market Square, Dunebury, and about the travails of his business and others owed to the ongoing infrastructure project. Sort of reminds us of the big dig in Boston of about, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. The construction project that never ends. But we'll get to that low-hanging fruit in a few minutes. It's a new year. Happy New Year. They dropped the big ball in Times Square. And the other highlight of the new year for some in New York, I guess, was the swearing in of their new mayor, Zoran Mamdani. Zoran Mamdani is the mayor of New York City. And he will become not only the first Muslim mayor of the city, has become, but he was the first sworn in using the Quran. He placed his paw on the Quran, and tomato, tomato, and was sworn in to begin his reign of terror, I guess, on New York City, depending on your perspective. And I suspect it'll be a combination of horrifying developments and some rather comical ones as we go forward with this short-time U.S. citizen now running one of the most consequential cities in the world and the financial capital of these United States. But, you know, that we've seen coming. What we didn't see coming was the little development over in Durham, specifically in North Carolina Senate District 22, where, wouldn't you know it, there's one Republican running for that seat in the March primary. Her name sounds like her name actually sounds like one of these soccer players from across the pond. She is Lakeisha Mashonda Rudy Alston. Maybe it's Ruddy, probably Ruddy. Lakeisha Mashonda Rudy Alston is the lone Republican candidate for a spot in North Carolina's 22nd District State Senate race, facing two Democrat challengers. It bothers me when they refer to them as Democratic. They're not really, by a long shot, Democratic. They are Democrats. But here's the thing you need to know about Lakeisha. First of all, she posed at the Durham County Board of Elections wearing the full headdress, face covered, the whole nine yards, as if she was walking the streets of some faraway land, which, you know, for some of us, Durham does feel like that. But she did drop the face covering for a second, kind of the the more conventional look that we might expect of a Republican candidate, so we could see her smiling face. Here's the thing you need to know about Ms. Alston. She's been a Durham County voter since 2008 and has voted for Democrat candidates twice in 2012 and again in 2024. And all of a sudden, she is the Republican choice. Now, it's Durham and points north up the 501 Highway 501 corridor. A Democrat is going to be very hard to beat, even if ostensibly running against another Democrat parading around as a Republican. Here's what she told the Daily Caller News Foundation. She quoted something sort of loosely scriptural. She said, "When I was a child, I thought as a child. But as I matured, I converted as a Republican. In order to form a more perfect union." So she kind of mixed her metaphors there. She went from biblical to constitutional. Anyway, she's been a Republican for just what they say in baseball, when you go up to the major league, long enough for a cup of coffee. And so keep an eye on this candidate in District 22. Now, we talk about this guy way too much, but I have to mention this before we get to our discussion with Jim Nash. Can a week go by that Tom Tillis doesn't have to step in it? I hope he's wearing his waders up there in Washington, because he's always stepping in something. This time he's joined 8 other senators, two Republicans, 3 including himself, if you can call them that, 5 Democrats and 1 independent, who are concerned that President Trump is trying to negotiate some measure of peace in the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, which, of course, was instigated entirely by Russia 4 years ago in a ruthless attempt to occupy large chunks of Ukrainian territory. The death toll is incomprehensible. And so Donald Trump comes back to office, and as president of the United States, the leader of the free world, he has been compelled to bring peaceful negotiations all over the globe. So it would stand to reason that he would want to address the situation between Putin's Russia and Zelensky's Ukraine. But we have our own North Carolina Senator, Tom Tillis, and others saying that because Putin is a ruthless murderer, which he is, and because he cannot be trusted, which he probably can't, there should be no negotiating to try to bring some measure of peace to this conflict. It seems to me that Zelensky is starting to bend a little bit in terms of what he's willing to accept in a peace deal or even a ceasefire deal. But these senators, including Tillis, were all bent out of shape because, of course, right in the middle of the Christmas season, Putin launches yet another attack on Kiev and other areas in eastern Ukraine. And, of course, that was completely completely unacceptable and murderous and ruthless, as they say. But there's something about Tom Tillis that he just cannot stand the impulse to constantly be criticizing and, if not diminishing, the duly elected president of the United States, Republican Donald Trump. The good news is that Tom Tillis is not seeking re-election. The bad news is that means we have to put up with a year-long struggle between Republican candidate Michael Whatley and the thin-lipped former governor of mask-wearing former governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, who remarkably in his political career, and that's the only career he's had, he's never had a job, by the way, in his political career has never lost an election. So he's kind of like the Yankees in the days of yore, but this time could be the first time for everything that we're always looking for. And we will keep an eye on that race very closely. Now, let us wish all of you, first of all, a Happy New Year. I would also be remiss if I did not acknowledge our wonderful sponsor of this program, the Marketplace Restaurant and Catering. I was in there just the other day talking to the fabulous Luke Black, the proprietor of the Marketplace, off of Highway 211 for breakfast and lunch. That's your go-to, as well as catering. They can go off menu and create many wonderful catering dishes for your many occasions, from small office parties to overpriced indulgent weddings. And they're your go-to. The Marketplace Restaurant and Catering, our fabulous sponsor here on Taking Aim. So one of the objectives, and welcome to the program, Jim Nash. Nice to have you with us. One of the objectives of our discussion today is certainly to update everyone on the perilous nature of being a small business owner in the village of Pinehurst, in the heart of the village, to be precise. But we're also here to talk about a new local initiative and what will soon be a new sponsor of this program, We the People Declare. And before we forget, please know that at your leisure, you can visit their website of We the People Declare to immerse yourself in the objectives and goals. That web address is wethepeopledeclare.com. How about that? But beyond that, we're here today to discuss why this initiative became necessary, not only here locally, but why it is becoming more apparent that there's a need for we the people to be informed and vocal, both in Moore County and across the state of North Carolina, and certainly across, as Rush would say, the Fruited Plain nationwide. Jim is a downtown merchant, as I mentioned, owner of the Doonberry Resort Ware store on Market Square.
Market Square.
And a fabulous boutique. I'm happy to report that my wife was very pleased with the gift that I presented her on Christmas Day, purchased at Doonberry Resort Ware.
We're happy about that.
Yeah. I'm happy when she's happy. So there was an iteration of this
initiative,
thank you, that goes back to the onset of the COVID pandemic. Jim, you were involved with it in Michigan.
Yes.
Your native land. At the time, to support local businesses, you know, trying to deal with all the forced lockdowns and closings of businesses and many other places, too, during those very dark days when we were trying to flatten the curve. Instead, we ended up suffocating the economy of our towns and our entire nation, and derailing the educational pursuits of our children. And I could go on and on and on. The economic and mental health toll is still being calculated to this day. So, Jim, several weeks ago, you were on here with another local business owner, Bob Hansen, and we laid out the unconscionable, incomprehensible marathon stormwater drainage infrastructure project that has been going on in Pinehurst since February of 2025. We can say last year now, since last year. So this project has spilled over from 1 year into the next.
It's entered its 12th month.
It's entered its 12th month, and it's not, and as Yogi Berra might say, it ain't over. So where are we, Jim? And first of all, we'll get to the project, but let's talk a little bit about the core objectives of We the People Declare and how you see that growing and expanding as we go forward in 2026.
Sure. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate being on the program again and being able to talk about We the People Declare and also talk about some of the challenges that small business has had downtown. You know, I can only speak from my experience from the last 5 years, because I've only been here for 5 years. But a lot of what we've had to go through downtown then is the reason that I'm going to be relaunched We the People Declare, which initially during COVID in Michigan, we had our resort wear business up in northern Michigan. And it was initially established to support small business that was willing to go against Michigan Governor Gretchen, and I call her Witch Mer.
There you go.
Okay, because she wanted to lock everybody down. And so the We the People Declare stood their ground and supported small business that wanted to stay open. And we also were a news site that they could go to and get information about everything that was going on in the whole COVID era. Long story short, one of the good things that came out of COVID for small business was some attractive government loan programs. And so we ended up taking advantage of one of those programs to move Doonberry Resort Wear to Pinehurst. We already had family in Cary, and so we were looking at North Carolina as a place that would be attractive to move to. So we ended up doing that in 2020, which we were still in the heart of COVID. And
by the way, during that same period of time here in Moore County, there was a similar undertaking called Freedom Matters NC, which was one of the leaders of that was our former council member Lydia Bosch. Mm-hmm. And we met, I think, Saturday mornings for the most part. And same kind of objective was, you know, how are we going to spare ourselves, save ourselves from the tyranny of the time we're living in, where we had Governor Roy Cooper very much singing out of the same satanic hymn book as Gretchen Whitmer, you know, masking up for the press conferences and then doing whatever the heck they wanted off camera all day, every day, while the rest of us, you know, were told to shelter in place.
Yes.
Sounded very very Soviet at the time, I thought.
But don't shelter in your business. Close your business.
Yeah, right. Yes. So. And don't worship in your church either.
Yes, that's true.
That's very dangerous. So,
Prior to moving here, I spent probably an entire week here just doing some due diligence to make sure that we were moving the business to the right community. And so I did some pretty extensive due diligence. Missed two critical things in my due diligence. It never occurred to me that the resort was kind of a double-edged sword. The resort, I think, is obviously the main crown jewel of Pinehurst. It's the big drawing card. And Pinehurst wouldn't be Pinehurst without the resort. But on the other side, it seems like everything is only about the resort. And they are really not a great partner in promoting downtown business or the village in itself. And I also kind of missed that it would be hard to employ good staff because the resort drawing card is so attractive, not pay-wise, but they have a lot of attractive benefits that people gravitate to. And then secondly, my due diligence did not even consider that village management and governance was not particularly small business friendly, which was a real shocker. Nor were they exceptionally competent in running a municipality. Kind of didn't know that until we were here for a year or so.
Right. So that pandemic has been going on for a lot longer than...
Oh, boy, yeah. Long time.
Some of the other ills that we face. And you're right about that, by the way. The resort isn't, obviously, the crown jewel. But for those of us who actually have to live here, you know, sometimes we get tired of being the subjects in the king's court. And all the folks over at the Pinehurst Harness Track feel the same way. I mean, that's a major asset for this community, the harness track, and all those horsemen and women over there, especially this time of year when the horses are in training. They also get the... you know, the cold shoulder more often than not from the governance and from the village as well, even though the village actually owns the track.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, they don't own the resort, but they actually own the racetrack. But that's a topic for another day, but I did want to mention
that. They kind of own the downtown village, too, so you would think that they would take better care of that asset. So it's kind of the same thing that we're dealing with. So, you know, when... we moved here, and I'm 75 now. I really thought that we would, within 5 years, kind of wind things down and do some other constructive things here. And I never intended to end up being the one who had to frequently challenge governance and administration because they continually proved not to be small business friendly and really don't care about the look, feel, and function of downtown. And I'm going to get into some of those things here in a minute. And they make what I think are poor decisions that negatively affect the financial viability of business here. So I kind of got forced into that motor role to protect and save my own substantial investment in my own business. If you don't speak up, then you've got nothing to complain about. So, you know, being in business downtown is kind of like, especially in retail, being in the hair salon business. Everybody comes in and you hear everybody's opinion and their experience on a daily basis. So from things that we've heard and our personal experiences, I'm going to relay some of the things that not only we go through, but all the small businesses have gone through downtown and that we fight on a daily basis. And this isn't in any particular chronological order. I'm just going to bring up some of the highlights of what we've been through, which then you'll see why it leads me into initiating again, We the People Declare. It was interesting, let me see. In 2023, I had a conversation with a local citizen who visited a council meeting for the first time. They'd been around for a while, but had never visited a council meeting. They came back and their comment to me was, and this is a pretty close quote, "We need to have true business person from the village or business people from the village help these clueless people. We need common sense business owners running things. Someone needs to teach our mayor a thing or two or three. They seem to come out of Washington worse than preschoolers, brainless, spineless, useless." And speaking of mayors, and this is the other thing that we've been fighting recently and in the last two elections, previous mayors been involved, and I'm going to say allegedly, in the last two elections in attempted strategic manipulation, election subversion, what you would call electioneering. This mayor also allegedly formed and does the bidding of a infamous and shadowy Friday group, which we've talked about before. These are select Pinehurst constituents who are unelected, unvetted, unqualified, unaccountable. They're kind of advisors who seemed to want to control the future of Pinehurst.
Kind of a cabal, you might
it's
say.
It's a little bit of a cabal.
Yeah.
So they kind of disregard the will of the electorate at large, and they want to make decisions affecting all constituents. Another thing that occurred that was disturbing is in 2020, our village manager made some public statements that were very derogatory toward shopping downtown and the businesses. They said, or he said, people are going to come away disappointed if they come to Pinehurst. Just not enough here. If you live in the local area, you'll come for shopping, but you're not going to travel for a day to go shopping in Pinehurst. Wow. And that was in a council meeting, so it's documented.
And what was the impetus for making such a sweeping?
They were considering spending Pinehurst tax dollars on advertising to bring day trippers in, so people from Charlotte, Raleigh, to bring those people in. And his comment was, "Why do we want to spend money on that? They're going to be disappointed." And what we have here. Well, okay, you're the village manager. Correct that then.
Yeah, well, and I'm not sure that's, I'm not sure that he was speaking the truth about that.
No, I don't believe he is either,
or was. I've been a permanent resident for 10 years now, and I think the village of Pinehurst, in terms of retail and shopping, is better than ever. In some ways.
In some ways, I think it is, too.
Yeah.
From what I've experienced. In recent years, serious tax dollars have been spent on Parks and Rec, specifically AstroTurf, two fields, $3 million. I don't ever remember voting for that, but I don't know. Could have been on some ballot that I missed. Another $200,000 was spent on 20 streetside parking spaces exclusively for the resort's brewery. I didn't vote on that either. And then when downtown streets were finally repaved 2 years ago, there was a large parking area on Market Square that is privately owned, but it is leased by the village. That didn't get paved because they couldn't work out participation with the owners of it. Just pave it like you did for the brewery. Do the right thing for the village, sake of the village. And I delivered that message to council, but that hasn't happened. Every year, Pinehurst hosts the annual...
Patricia Rowe.
You've got mail.
I've got mail. host the U.S. Kids Golf World Championship.
Yeah,
big,
wonderful.
Big
Huge.
Deal.
Yeah.
1,600 players with parents and relatives, 8,000 people coming through our village, 50 different countries represented. So this year, when that happened, the village of Pinehurst positioned themselves not to participate in any services. No real cooperation because it wasn't one of their sponsored events, and it was on a weekday when their people are doing other important things. So there wasn't any help in setup, tear down, no police support, no crowd control, nothing. During that...
And this is not the first U.S. Kids, obviously, championship to come to Pinehurst. It's been coming here for a number of years.
Long, long time. And so it's a big deal. It's international. There's cameras rolling. We had streets got blocked off by the sponsor because, the village didn't participate. And we had cars coming down a two-block area to a dead end into the parade. Had to back out. All two blocks back out when it could have been easily resolved by putting the barricades two blocks prior to that where they could make a left or right turn and not get into an impossible log jam. So, you know, this is kind of, I think, incompetence at the highest level. Is not Pinehurst better than this? I mean, let's take care of when we have special events like this. We need the participation of our council, our administration, and all their support.
Yeah, how is it possible that, because let's face it, everything is intertwined, the resort, the village, it's all part of the same economic engine, and it's all part of the same marketing opportunity, which is Home of American Golf.
Right.
How is the Home of American Golf indifferent, if not hostile, toward the future of world golf, which is you as kids?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, none of this makes any sense at all. As I already stated, Village Pinehurst, and I always say it has two undeniable crown jewels. Obviously, the resort and the famed Pinehurst II is an ongoing living memorial to the founding of Pinehurst. It's really the main attraction why people come here. But the other crown jewel is the National Historic Landmark District, which is also our downtown area. So besides the resort, the historic village is one of the first things visitors see and from which they have a lasting impression of Pinehurst. So in very recent years, the Village of Pinehurst has earmarked $5.5 million for projects related to parks and recreational facilities and programs. When was the last time that VOP designated anything significant to fix up and maintain our National Historic Landmark District? You know, some merchants have spent considerable amounts. Some have spent into their life savings to create businesses that they expect will thrive downtown. And it's always a continual uphill battle to get VOP to do anything positive downtown. Council after council, mayor after mayor, administration changes have proven, and I believe still are, not small business friendly nor supportive of this National Historic Landmark District. If they were, they would pay more attention to the look, feel, and function of it and put a little bit of that development money back into the village.
Because you don't just get to put that on autopilot. I mean,
not at all.
At some point, they could jeopardize that designation, I imagine.
I believe that's true. I think Lydia has spoken to that. She was very involved in helping get that designation to begin with. You know, Marty McKenzie, I think, said it best, and this is a quote, "The Tufts family, which founded Pinehurst, left a legacy that must be perpetually embraced and upheld." I don't Correct. See our elected officials upholding it very well. In 2022, I did a complete pictorial narrative on a PowerPoint. It was about 60 slides of the state of Pinehurst Historic District, and not only showed what I saw were the problems and the eyesores and the issues that needed to be resolved, but I gave, you know, some solutions from my perspective of what might help that. Not a whole lot got done.
You don't say.
From that. Not a whole lot got done. You know, the pilot covered that story, too. They actually put a link to the PowerPoint. They did a very nice article on it. It got quite a bit of attention. So you would think that our administration would have picked up on that and taken care of a lot of those problems. I'm in process of doing a second look at that. But I can tell you that it probably looks worse right now due to the fact that the current ongoing storm sewer road construction project is still ongoing, now going into the 12th month.
I thought it was really special, too, during the days leading up to and immediately after Christmas. Right in the middle of the village was a collection of small Christmas trees that had been erected, you know, in the spirit of the season. And right next to them was a giant orange and white road closure barricade.
Lovely.
That, yeah. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Right out there in the middle of Chinquapin. Why that road closure thing had to stay there, obliterating the Christmas tree display, I have no idea. But there it was. It looked like, I felt like, you know, I was in some third world, you know, Middle Eastern enclave where they were expecting, you know, a military invasion to occur at any moment, you know, have to close the streets.
Well, and that's exactly why, and I mentioned last time on the show that some of our citizens, 35 of them, signed a petition, sent it to the mayor, the council, and the village manager, imploring them to clean up the mess downtown, finish the job, and let's move on. And I read that whole petition last time, so I won't go over that again. But
by the way, if you're just tuning in, just maybe waking up after maybe taking a few hours of sleep to recover from the Christmas season and your New Year's festivities, this is your favorite Saturday morning program, Taking Aim, heard exclusively here on WEEB. And our guest today is Jim Nash, owner of the downtown village a retail store, Duneberry. And we're talking about the organization that he is co-leading, We the People Declare, and also the travails of our downtown merchants amid this marathon infrastructure stormwater drainage project. We ought to call it just Operation, I guess we should give it a name for the history books.
We should. We'll
come up with something, yeah, maybe before the end of the show here. But anyway, please continue.
Okay. So not only in this petition did they state what they stated, but they had a picture of all the trash and, you know, porta potties and so forth. But the international kids, the parade, had to walk through the center of it. We were promised that that would be completed. The whole construction would be done before that event. And, of course, it wasn't. Not only that, but the village didn't put up any signs, so people that were parking downtown in Chinquapin could move their car, and the parade had to go around all the cars still parked on the street. Which wasn't a great
The lawyers must have been licking their chops about that time.
One would think. You know, you would think that this entire storm sewer construction project that's gone on now for 12 months would have been one of the top 10 stories for the pilot. Not a mention.
That's correct. In their, let's see, it was the Sunday right after Christmas edition of the pilot, top 10 stories of 2025, and nary a word about the plight of Village of Pinehurst business owners, and for that matter, just everyday citizens navigating around the closures and the dust and the debris and everything else. So,
you know, here's an interesting quote, and it's not just from any citizen, and this was on a social media site, and it talks about the condition of downtown. This was right after I did the PowerPoint presentation. Rick Tufts weighed in. Now, that is the Tufts founding family. And his statement was, "I hate to see all the disruptions in my town, but it has to happen before anything can get accomplished." He goes on to talk about the parking issue and then ended by saying, "Same goes for cleaning up the village. Yeah, I've seen the pictures on a site," and he was referring to the PowerPoint that I had done. "Some aren't very pleasing. Village needs to get back to basics, like when I work there, have a team of employees, maintain the village appearance and nothing else. Dedicated to cleaning, mowing, planning, repairing, village appointments. Take care of the raised bricks in the sidewalk or leaning and broken lamp posts and stop signs." Okay, so here's an admonishment by one of the founding members of the founding family, and again, nobody pays attention to that,
right?
And, coming from him.
And you know, we've all visited other historically significant towns and cities, and we know that, you know, a little bit of effort makes a big difference in terms of your experience and your perception of the place that you have visited. You know, one of the I think many people, like myself, the first time I ever visited Pinehurst in the late 90s, I felt this magical aura about it, just standing in the village. And I don't know if that is still quite the same, has the same lure as it did then. But it's not irreversible, is what his point is. If you make the effort, you can turn it around.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely not irreversible. We just need to have governance that is in management, that's paying attention to what's going on in that area. And we need constituents to pay attention to what's going on. Mm-hmm. Most of them aren't even aware. In fact, I found some people that weren't even aware of the construction that's been going on
right.
for 12 months.
Right.
Which is not all that surprising, because in an annual survey that's done each year, and this was, I'm quoting from the survey in, I think, 23, 46% of the people said, we don't come downtown. We don't shop downtown. We don't eat downtown. And then they listed all the reasons why not. Boy, that shouldn't be.
That's correct.
We need to do things to attract those people come downtown frequently.
I mean, it's just a similar phenomenon. Is I can't tell you how many people, when I mention the World Golf Hall of Fame and the displays over there, oh, I haven't made it over there yet. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's in your backyard.
Yeah.
A lot of places would kill to have the World Golf Hall of Fame in their backyard.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, I digress, but the point is well taken. And, you know, you can't force people to do anything, but certainly if you just give them more excuses or more reasons not to come downtown, then that 46% is going to become 56% and
yeah.
continue to grow.
Well, here's something special that happened during the week before Christmas, which is supposed to be one of the biggest shopping weeks in most towns of the year. Ascot Construction decided to go back into full swing, tear up a few areas that they had already completed, but then it was determined that they completed them wrong, so they had to re-tear them back up. They literally closed the entire downtown. All three main streets were barricaded for at least a half a day, some of them all day. So that was a huge interruption at the highest shopping week before Christmas.
And if I can just take a quick detour in the narrative here, Ascot is the company under contract to do this project. They were contracted in late 2024, November of 24, I believe.
Correct.
And they are principally a residential home building company, if I understand that correctly.
I believe so.
So when we talk about Ascot, we're talking about the company that has been paid to do the work to complete the project to the satisfaction of the village.
Correct.
So.
Okay. So one citizen relayed to me during that week that they had written the mayor saying, really? After the disastrous year we had in the heart of the village, we had out-of-town friends here. They commented on how disheveled and tired the village looks. This exemplifies our taxpayer dollars well used. They've now changed their mind. None of them will be buying anything in Pinehurst. Well, that hurts.
Is that a reference to real estate in the future? Or shopping, or maybe both.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Maybe both. Certainly it was shopping. They turned around and, you know, didn't go into any of the stores.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to walk through all the construction debris, which was considerable during that week. And then this person goes on to say that they saw They understand that the village sent out a notice to the shop owners that the road construction project was finished. The asphalt was done. Seriously? Where's the leadership around here? Mm-hmm. Was the final comment. So there's an ongoing post right now on Nextdoor, which is titled, I think, a continuation on the downtown storm sewer construction fiasco. And there's a number of different pictures. If you haven't seen what it looks like, it's pretty rough. This is the, you know, the gateway corner into the historic district. And one of the things on one of those corners, right in front of the Veterans...
Golfers Association.
Yeah, Golfers Association.
The VGA.
There was a really nice herringbone pattern to the sidewalk, and when they tore that corner up to put the new stop sign in, they replaced that herringbone, or they butted up against the herringbone with just a square of square-laid bricks, and so now you've got square-laid against herringbone, and it really looks bad.
Yeah, it looks like a Van Gogh painting or something.
Well, and it's not even the same brick. It's right. It's there's a multicolor to the brick. I mean, it's just way out of place.
Yeah.
So not only is the street and storm sewer construction been a disaster, but our sidewalks, the entrance to the village also looks bad from this construction project. You would think that our administration would be downtown all the time, kind of monitoring what's going on, mm-hmm. And telling the construction people it's not satisfactory. Redo it.
Especially since we've had essentially a mild winter thus far. In other words, no excuse not to be able to step out of your house and walk around and take a look.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, if you take a look at the asphalt laid, that is the only layer of asphalt they're putting down, and we've confirmed that through documents that have been reviewed. That's it. What you see is what you're going to get. It's the new pitted, uneven, rough base asphalt look for downtown, the Venezuela look.
Yes, it's a nice. It would be receive the blessing of Maduro or Fidel Castro if he was still in Cuba. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, that's exactly what came to mind. I've been to a lot of small underdeveloped places in this world, and one of the giveaways that you're in a small underdeveloped nation is the terrible state of the highway and road infrastructure. It's suitable for heads of cattle roaming freely along the side of the road, but not for vehicles or people. So that's what we have right now.
Yep. So I'm going to skip through. We're kind of running out of time little bit. So I'm going to move through some of this.
I think the big takeaway from this, when all is said and done, is that the due diligence in terms of selecting the general contractor for the project seems to have been woefully less than necessary.
Right.
And I think we're learning as documents are being collected through public records requests that the price of the project was the leading factor in assigning the contract, as opposed to the end result being satisfactory.
And who paid for this? If you're a tax-paying citizen of Pinehurst, you paid for this subpar construction job.
Yeah.
You pay taxes, then your elected governance decides how to spend it and who gets paid. So,
right. So in other words, this is not just a handful of disgruntled business owners, who are upset because their bottom lines have been affected, which is a legitimate complaint, believe me. But this is, by extension, a trampling of all of us as taxpaying citizens, in that the fiduciary responsibility, the fiduciary ball has been dropped here by the elected officials and by the paid administrators as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I looked at the 26 budget, and actually I attended one of the meetings in 25 where they went over the Piner's budget forecast for the next 5 years. Do you know there's not one thin dime earmarked for any projects related to the look, feel, and function of our core downtown? It's spent every other place, but nothing downtown. They don't see that there's anything wrong with downtown. They don't even understand why everybody's up in arms about the condition of the storm sewer project and the look of the pavement, the homeowners being upset because some of the people live on Magnolia, and they've had to deal for an entire year with trying to get their car out of the driveway to go get groceries.
Or not get their car out of the driveway.
Exactly.
As the case may be. Right. When you got to go off-roading in your minivan, you've got a problem. You know, let's just put it that way. But, Jim, I think this has been a great discussion today, and it's not over yet. If you were to drive through Pinehurst right this very Saturday, I don't think you would see markings on the pavement that's been hastily put down. And I don't know when we'll see that. We know we've got some weird brickwork that has been done by, I don't know, somebody with a abstract art impulse, I guess you might say. But
there you go.
That's where we stand, and we will continue to follow this story, of course.
So let me make a few comments about the website, because all and there's a lot of material here that I wasn't able to go over about what we've dealt with, not only as merchants downtown, but the citizenry has to deal with in, I'm going to say, competency of governance and administration, or the lack thereof. But this is why we the people declare website is being launched. If I can quickly read from the website our mission and objectives. Our mission is to empower citizens, preserving liberty, strengthening community. Our mission is we the people declare exist to empower and support citizens who value freedom, ethical governance, community integrity. Our mission is to advocate for transparent, servant-style leadership, uphold individual rights, and foster a thriving environment for independent businesses and residents in Pinehurst and beyond. We're a local grassroots movement of citizens focused and committed to protecting the will of the people, ensuring that the elected officials faithfully serve the public's highest interest and maintain open channels of communication, accountability, and transparency within our community. Our objectives are to defend civil liberties, stand against laws, mandates, actions that misuse authority or infringe upon individual freedoms and rights. Some of this I'm going to skip down. You can read.
Yeah, go and visit that website. There's
a lot
of good content there, a lot of calls to action. And this is, again, this is an ongoing initiative. We will revisit this going forward in 2026, which is upon us. And as is the midterm election cycle, believe it or not, early voting folks, you're saying, oh, that doesn't happen until way down the road. 5 weeks from now, it starts on February 12th. I'm not kidding you. And the primary election day is March 3rd. So the countdown has begun to the midterms of 26. So become informed, get involved, make sure you're registered to vote ahead of the February 6th deadline. February 6th, voter registration deadline for this election cycle. I am Steve Woodward. My thanks to Jim Nash for joining us. And we'll be back once again next Saturday and beyond, taking aim.